Welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast, where you can learn how to rage against the theft of your financial future by listening to a unique perspective on what's holding you back from a life of more money and more time.
Hello, and welcome back to the Money and Time Machine podcast. I'm your host, Justin Paul. And we're back for part two of the hero's journey with none other than Fiona Jean. If you recall, in part one, we laid the foundation for the work of Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey. And now in part two, Fiona will continue to take you on a guided educational tour, denoting and explaining Joseph Campbell's hero's journey in a way that gives you clarity and hopefully can provide you with signposts that you can use in your life as we attempt to help you make sense of your own hero's journey. Welcome back, Fiona.
Hey, Justin. Pleased to be here with you.
Good, good. Well, look, this is one of the kind of podcasts that I like where I do very little talking. So please, in lieu of our follow-on from episode one, I'm going to pass the baton over to you. So you do what you do best, and I'll catch up with you towards the end.
Thank you, Justin. Yes, so like I said in part one, we're all on our own hero's journey, whether we realize it or not, and perhaps even more than one at a time, you know, one at the same time, if you like. And it can be applied in most areas of our life and has relevance within our life from the moment we decide to make change. And as you know, I'm very passionate, as is Justin, you know, around Joseph Campbell's work and applying the 12 steps. And like we went through in the first podcast with the illustration of Merlin, you know, Nemo's dad, in the children's animated movie Finding Nemo, I want to go just a little bit deeper. I'm going to use the movie The Wizard of Oz as an example to illustrate this journey and talk about some of the perhaps hidden messages and learnings that may have missed, you know, or you may have missed when you've been watching this iconic movie. And perhaps you listen to this podcast and then it inspires you to go and watch the movie again and see if you can pick up these learnings and these things that I'm saying for yourself. Some of the nuances I share today, I hadn't noticed until recently myself as I was guided through a viewing of this movie once again with one of my mentors, Mitch Bain. So you need to be teachable in order to fully develop. We know that. We've talked about that before on different podcasts. And to be open to receive, you know, to be vulnerable so you can take action to grow. So over the next sort of, you know, 30 minutes or so, I'd like you to be open to be teachable and so that you can follow along. And afterwards, I'd love to hear your thoughts and any comments that you have in relation to this. And when we stop and look, everything we need is there. The frustration comes when we can't see it. So that said, let's get into it. So we start with the ordinary world. And if you notice, perhaps you did, perhaps you didn't, the movie starts in black and white. And this is Dorothy in her ordinary world. Yet she has a problem and is returning home to the farm. So I'm not going to go through all of the movie. I'm going to pick out snippets of it to illustrate the point. So with her limited awareness, she pushes back, believing that the answers lie outside in the outside world. It's nothing within her. It's all in the outside world, in her environment and people around her. And as we, may or may not know, archetypes, again, this could be a whole new podcast idea on that topic itself, but archetypes are universal stereotypes that you fit into at any moment in time. And our tribe, the people that we hang around with, our family, if you like, or the people in our community, is often made up of a group of archetypes. And we take our part in the tribe, yet the reality is that we have all the archetypes we need already within us. You just don't see it or realize it. I just want to highlight a few other things into your awareness before we get into the movie specifically. Because you see, when you have an issue or a problem, it's a challenge to your intellect, your brain. So who does Dorothy meet first? The farmhand, which becomes the scarecrow later on in the story. And who tells her the answer, yet she can't hear it. She's not, you know, able to comprehend it yet. She doesn't know the answers within herself. And next, she meets the second farmhand, which is going to be the Tin Man later on, and that's the Heart. And then the third one, the Lion, or your Courage, or who questions her courage and then acts cowardly. So when we start to pay attention more in life, we notice when we pay attention to more of the things outside of yourself, you're actually creating a lie about your existence, your existing reality, if you like. And generally, a challenge or a test will appear. Even the song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, talks about the terrestrial realm, you know, the colours, and then all the dreams already come true. That's the celestial realm where what we truly want already exists and is waiting for us to step up and take it for ourselves. And then, of course, there's Toto, Dorothy's dog. And for me, that I can clearly see this represents the animal instinct, the fight or flight response. You know, as we go through the movie, you'll see that Toto always saves Dorothy. You know, it gets her out of danger and all these sorts of things. So it's really interesting once you take the blinkers off and have these different awarenesses, what you can see within the movie. And the witch represents, you know, for Dorothy, her inner witch, her victim, the predator. And the munchkins, who doesn't love the munchkins? They represent all the fractured selves, you know, all of the parts of Dorothy, if you see through the movie, when she starts to fracture and come open. And she realizes that all of these parts are within her. So as the call to adventure happens, when Dorothy's aunt comes to take Toto, and Dorothy says, we've got to get away. And Toto escapes from the basket later. Again, this is him leading her with her animal instinct to flight and fight response. So Dorothy's starting to leave her old sense of self. She's fracturing and starting to believe, you know, that there is a journey, which we will know later as we come, you know, as we know it to be the Yellow Brick Road. And the movie is now in colour. And so it switches from the black and white of her ordinary world where she was initially in, you know, living in this world of not seeing her challenges and not seeing things, to the world of colour. On the journey back, you know, as she's trying to get home, Dorothy meets the charlatan. And this is a representation of, you know, is the guy that, you know, the old guy with the mustache and a big sort of caravan, gypsy wagon, you know, selling all the witches, the potions and doing magic. And this is a representation of the past, the present and the future. So he performs as one thing, but is actually another. And the charlatan's job is actually to send you back, to show you that you actually can't go backwards, as you've already started to progress the hero's journey. And then Q from there becomes the Twister. So the Twister is the outward representation of Dorothy's inner imbalance and turmoil. Although she tries to return home, she must go forward. So as a precursor to transformation, there's always going to be some form of chaos. And in life, we swim between, I call it swimming between the flags of chaos and calm. You know, generally we're always edging forward, even though it might not feel that way at the time. You know, your life may feel like a nightmare, but you daydream, right? You know, so to balance things out. And why is that? You might think, well, why do we do that? It's actually the difference between our intuition and our instinct, our test and our rest, our sleeping and our waking states, our inspiration and our aspiration. So those that activate in our sleeping state and operate in our waking state. So as we are emotion, or when we become emotional, it's also akin to, in a sense, you know, being drunk or in a form of chaos, because we can't negotiate. We need to calm down first and revisit the problem. So that's why I say, you know, chaotic things is really a precursor to some transformational breakthrough, if you like, in life. So when the Twister comes, three things happen, or that we can observe. The first one is not where things were. So what she says in the movie is not where I was before. And then there's that acknowledgement of the journey. So it's, I must be over the rainbow. And then the third thing is, and the element of light appears, you know, and this is where the fairy godmother comes down, or the white witch you know, to, as a guide onto her journey. And Dorothy asks for assistance. So as and when a chaotic event happens, you tell the story. And eventually it fractures and you're able to leave the story behind. So this is when Q, the Munchkins, you know, as Dorothy fractures, her selves appear. One by one, they start to reassure her, akin to her, if you like, the higher mind consciousness whispering to her. And she starts this process of unification, where they're coming together for a greater sense of self. So let's look at a few of them. You know, I think the first one to appear is the mare. You know, it's moral, they're all in singing form. I'm not going to sing for you, but morally, ethically, spiritually. You know, what does he represent? And the coroner comes along, the story is dead. So now, independent of the story, Dorothy can start to move on. And all parts, i.e. the Munchkins, move forward to introduce themselves. And two of the ones I particularly like are Lullaby, because that takes care of sleep, which is the sleeping state. And then there's the Lollipop Guild, which comes and introduces themselves. And they're an organization related interest forms protection, which is really all elements that we need within our waking state. So once Dorothy is no longer her story, she starts to question, actually, who is she? Who am I? And because there is a new level of awareness that she's moving into, cue the dark side. The dark side will always appear to test. And I encourage you and invite you all to be grateful for your dark sides in life, because it's always going to show up and test you. And even just bringing that to your awareness, you might start to notice that little things will appear. God, that's happened again. Same thing, same thing. So unless you do something differently to change and move forward, you'll still keep getting the same dark side tests appearing in life. And also one of the other things that I really love is Dorothy's red shoes. I mean, who doesn't love those sparkly red shoes? But really, it's a beautiful metaphor for the base chakra being grounded. So as you move forward, you must stay grounded. And I love the realization that the chakra is also follow through the movie, as together the head, the heart, and the courage are the top three elements of the human soul. So it will give true transformation and change. So when we think about it, the crown, the third eye, and the throat chakra are all around the brain. And this is our intellectual power. And the heart is our emotional power. And then we have the soul of the sacral and the base chakra, which is our courage or our choice and willpower. So as Dorothy journeys, she meets her inner world needs in her outer world reflection. So she reaches a crossroads, if you remember, and you know, here Dorothy needs to make a decision. Well, how is she going to do that? She's going to engage her brain. So Q, Scarecrow, representing the brain. She assesses her intellectual power and realizes, well, we all need to realize in a way that we only place infatuation on others when we've yet to find it in ourselves. So once she comes to this realization through the story, within the movie, Dorothy takes the Scarecrow with her as an external representation of how she sees herself. And then, obviously, Q, dark side, because she's now given the test with the apples. How does she get the apples from the tree? She's hungry, but the trees, you know, come alive and they don't want to give the apples. So if you remember in the story, you may or may not, but the Scarecrow then aggravates the trees. They start to throw the apples. So he's used his intellect, his brain, in a game form to get the trees to throw the apples so they could have the fruit without the conflict. And then the same with the Tin Man, representing the heart, the exterior representation of how she feels about herself. Because you can't love yourself in halves. You really can't. Just like you can't get rich with one-sided coins. You can't love yourself in halves. There's two halves to everything. Everything happens in duality. And once again, Dorothy has a greater sense of self, a greater insight around, you know, the heart and her emotions. So she decides to take the Tin Man with her on the journey. And again, cue the dark side, it comes in. And if you count your blessings and you really acknowledge where you are in life, the dark side loses power. So at this point, Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man enter the forest. And again, cue the lion representing courage. And here Dorothy assesses her choices and willpower. And then they all join together, you know, merrily along the yellow brick road on the way to Oz to see the wizard. As they all have the illusion that the wizard has all the answers. So at this point, Dorothy really has the wizard on a pedestal and herself in the pit. Because that's what happens. When we put people on a pedestal, we think that, you know, we idolize our idols, all those sorts of things. We cap our own potential underneath them. So we put ourselves in the pit. And again, greater insights that she receives, cue the dark side. And there's a beautiful field of poppies, red poppies, grounding. And the animal instinct in Toto kicks in and he runs off and falls asleep and they all sleep. So this is when they're going into the sleeping state, a visual representation of that, which is our greatest state of learning, where Dorothy can integrate what's happened so far. And here we can start to see that whenever we go through challenges, there is a battle between, often, our head and our heart. And there's four things I just want to comment around this is the head or the brain can't feel. And while Dorothy is resting and is in this sleeping state, the higher mind consciousness talks to the lower mammalian brain. And the third thing is the heart is actually the pathway to infinite wisdom. They have to coincide together, the head and the heart. But the heart is the true key. And then life is constantly trying to communicate with you. So wherever, you know, where do you see this in your life? Do you see life trying to communicate with you? Do you have dark sides come up in the form of a challenge? It's just something to think about and be aware of. It's not always a bad thing. It's something to stretch you and to help you move forward in life. Then we get back to the Scarecrow. The Scarecrow is actually the Doubting Thomas, the battle between the light and the dark. You know, if you want to settle down your own inner Scarecrow, asking for help as if it's already turned up, as Dorothy says, thank you a lot in the movie, by thanking it for turning up and getting it done, it presupposes that it's already achieved. Therefore, the doubt between, will I, won't I, that or can I, can't I, all of these things is really settled. And again, this is illustrated beautifully with cueing the dark side after this scene in which the witch comes in and says, curse it, this girl always gets help. So by presupposing someone's going to help her, there's always something showing up to help her onto her next move. And then they progress along the journey and arrive in Oz, the green, beautiful, you know, land of Oz and the heart chakra. But no one's ever seen the wizard, right? You know, how do you know there is one? And at this point, I noticed a beautiful symbolic change of the life force within Dorothy as the horse changes colour. As you watch, you have to watch the movie to see. And that means to me she's ready to embark on the next challenge. So the cue is here. There's another dark side pops up with a deeper message. This is really to make sure she's ready to step up to here. And it says, surrender, Dorothy, let go. And yet this time, Dorothy doesn't see it as a threat and places once again her faith in the wizard. So yet Dorothy has the wizard on a pedestal and herself in the pit. No one deserves to be in either the pedestal or the pit. All deserve to be within your own heart as this, you know, as equals. So at this point, we still see Dorothy a little cocky and self-righteous, you know, strutting around. She hasn't got it yet. She's counting the chickens, before they're all being laid, so to speak. And although she's told no, she can't see the wizard, she now sits and opens her heart. She see her sitting outside on the steps of the wizard's castle. And once we do this in life, once we become open to another, then you see the beautiful metaphor is here. There's a response. as in the wizard's guard actually lets them in. Because when we are infatuated with people, we love them in halves, and she starts to see this. So then we cue the wizard, and there's this discussion of who are you, and, you know, in this big booming voice. And Dorothy's small and meek, not as courageous, you know, obviously explains why she was there. And the wizard grants the request, but once she's proven worthy by getting the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. And this is Dorothy's greatest fear. And as you may or may not know, when we're faced with our darkest, biggest fear, our courage jumps out of the window. So cue the lion here, and the lion jumps out of the window. And cue the animal instinct, Toto does a runner and saves Dorothy again. So when we're faced off, or we have a heart open groundedness, again with Dorothy, with the dark side, she realizes there's intelligence, heart and courage. Light triumphs over dark. And when they go to tackle the witch, this is beautifully illustrated with water being thrown over the witch. And there's elements in, you know, light and dark with masculine and feminine, yin and yang. And the water represents the lightness that is thrown over, you know, the earth of the being, if you like, in the dark. And then they travel back once again to the wizard with the broomstick. And again, cue Toto, the animal instinct at this stage. Toto smells a rat, so to speak, and pulls back the curtain. And what does he reveal? Not the wizard, the charlatan. So the charlatan from the very beginning, the magician in the wagon that was trying to explain to her, you know, that, or the message he was trying to say is that once you start going backwards, you can't actually go backwards. So then Dorothy starts to discover that she's always had the power within herself to click her heels together as she would have been home any time. And as she says in the movie with the line, I was never lost to begin. I think that sums it up beautifully. So in summing up, the journey of personal empowerment, finding yourself, you know, Dorothy returns home, awakening her heart, intellect, and courage. She's transcended the 12 steps of the hero's journey beautifully on this level, a new version of herself. Because, well, the key message I want to leave you is your reality right here in this moment, it's not here to enslave you. It's time to awaken.
Well, Fiona, there's not much I can add to that. Very, what shall I call it? I'm struggling to find. I'll use it to erudite overview of the hero's journey. I want to thank you in ways you can't even comprehend, but that was amazing. Even I was absorbed. And guess what I'm going to be doing next? I'm going to be watching The Wizard of Oz.
Great. That's what I want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We couldn't just leave it at that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our double episode of The Hero's Journey, as presented to you by Fiona Jean, using The Wizard of Oz as a fantastic backdrop. Perhaps now you may go on to develop a profound understanding and appreciation of Joseph Campbell's work and how you too can benefit from it. Now you too can incorporate, as Fiona and I have done, this work into, you know, our lives and your lives, that provides at the very least a template, a journey not too dissimilar to people all around the world in times past and in the future to come. It's a journey of growth. It's a journey that demands from you participation, because you can't grow in stagnation. You can't learn what you need to learn until you get off the sidelines and play in the game, your game. And your game, as in your life, can only be lived and experienced by you. That's why it's called the hero's journey. Because I want you to really, you know, I want you to let what I'm about to tell you really sink in. You're either going to be the hero of your own journey or the servant of somebody else's journey. Let that sink in. I want you to think about that whilst you consider your options. So, from Fiona Jean, the purposeful warrior, and I, till next we speak, bye from us.
Thanks for listening to the Money and Time Machine podcast. And remember, you're either someone else's version of a money and time machine, or you can learn how to become your very own effective money and time machine and to live with purpose on purpose.